Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't know how many of you are following the World Cup. If you're American, you're like, soccer, what? But I know some of our Europeans, people from other countries, definitely are following. And I was listening to a radio program yesterday. I honestly didn't even know where it was being held. And I learned it's being held in Russia, which has apparently caused some concern for some people. And they were talking about the troubles with having it in Russia. And there was a man on there who was very concerned. He didn't like it that it was there. There were a lot of problems behind it. So finally, the commentator asked him, or the interviewer asked him, so would you ever consider boycotting soccer? And there was just this dead silence in the interview. And he said, there is nothing that could happen that would make me boycott soccer. And then he said, soccer is bigger than God. Right? You shall love the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And while I listened to it and I kind of chuckled at it, I thought, you know, there's always truth in jokes too, right? And so here we are. For some people, soccer is bigger than God. And for many of us, there are lots of things that we actually put before the Lord our God. And so today, I want us to think about, what are those things? How do we live? What are the little gods we make in our lives that put God somewhere way in the back? The commandments are given to us by God. These commandments that are meant to help structure our lives, they're a loving thing to do, and the very first three, which are the ones we get today, are about how we relate to God. If you break the commandments down in 10, the first three are about our relationship with God, the next seven are about how we are in relationship with one another. But this very first one, you shall put no other God before me. You shall have no other God before me. There have been people who said if we could just get that one right, we wouldn't even need the other 10. If we could just do that one, all of the rest would fall into place because we would be following what God wants us to do. But that one commandment is so hard, isn't it? Because all of the other gods in our life are so attractive. I started thinking about, what even does this word God mean? What does it mean to have a God? And in the day when the commandments were written, a God was something that made you act in a certain way. It had power. And at the time, gods were responsible in people's minds for the rain and fertility and every aspect of your life. And so you worked very hard to both not make the gods mad, and to please the gods. And when the commandments were written, this is in the minds, this is how everybody operates, including the Israelites. You don't want to make God mad, you want to please God. And so it caused you to act in certain ways. Now, over time, I think we've lost some of that, although I think some of that is still probably buried in us, kind of in there. But I think mostly we have come through Jesus to see God as the purveyor of grace and love, which I preach every week, and I completely believe it. God is the purveyor of grace and love, and God doesn't demand anything from us, but just gives that grace and love. But sometimes I think we get really good at just kind of taking that love, and then we forget that God is actually asking for something from us in return. We forgot about that other piece, right? So last week, as we were talking about our relationship with God, I mentioned there are these three R's in response to this, the commandments. And they are, one, relationship. We're in relationship with God. Two, we get reminders about that in our daily life. And three, there is the response. How do we respond? And our response is what these commandments are all about. If we are in relationship with God, if God truly has given us grace and love, which God has, then how do we respond to that? Do we make God God and thank God for all God has done and listen to Or do we say, thanks, God, got other stuff to do, and make little gods everywhere else? And I know in my life, too often, I am very happy to take the love and grace of God, but when God calls on me to do something scary or to leave behind my other little gods, it's a little tough. My guess is your lives may not be so different. So let's assume, as we're talking about gods, that this is what God is then. God is something that has power over your life. Just like it did for the ancient Israelites, God is something that causes you to do something. What are the gods in your life? What propels you to act? I was once at a seminar, and they said, think about it this way. Let's say you need to change something in your life, in the church, in your work, wherever you are. You need to make a change. And you know that change is a thing of God. And a thing of God would be something that is loving and life-giving. And let's say you need to make that change, but you don't want to. Who is the person in your head that's stopping you because you're afraid of what they're going to say? What is the thing in your head that's not letting you do the loving or life-giving thing that has become your God? Can you follow me? You know the people. You feel God's call to something. You feel God's will. You know what the loving thing to do is, and something stops you because you're afraid of someone, how they might react, what they might say, what they might do. And the crazy thing is, you would think we would only make little gods out of people we love and respect. Sometimes it's someone we don't even like in our head that is causing us not to do something. Sometimes it's someone we're afraid of in our head that's stopping us from doing the loving and life-giving thing. And when they have that power over our lives, they become little gods. They are causing us to act or not act in certain ways. But God calls us past those little gods. After I went to that seminar, whenever this happens, whenever I get scared, I stop and I think, oh my gosh, who is it or what is it in my head? It's not always people. Sometimes, often, it's money. This is a big one for me. I'm afraid, like, I need financial security, right? So I'm afraid to do something because there might not be enough money for it. Our need to please, right? Our need to look or be a certain way in whatever community we live in, these become the little gods that cause us to act. So many gods. Right now in our world, I've been watching this stuff at the border with immigration, and my heart breaks for all of the families, especially today on Father's Day. I think of those children and fathers who just want to be together and won't be. And, you know, it's bad enough. We can talk about immigration policy. That's not here nor there. But we're taking children away from their parents. And the other day, Jeff Sessions pulled out the Bible to justify it. And if you saw it, what he said is, it's biblical to follow the law. Now, yes, we are given law for good order. But if we follow the law without loving, we make the law our God. And if you continue reading in Romans, where he proof texted that one little piece, it says, love is the fulfillment of the law. He didn't keep reading. And so when we do that, yes, law is there for good order, but we make laws into our gods. We make the flag into an idol. We make political leaders our heroes. In the church, we do it too. We make the church building more important than love and God. We make our traditions more important than love and God. We are constantly turning to people and things and making them little gods and leaving love behind. And this breaks the heart of God. We are called first and foremost to love God and love neighbor. And yet we are always making little gods to avoid doing that. But here's the thing. God keeps pleading with us because what God knows is this. When we can make God our God with a capital G, and stop whatever other little gods are trying to control our lives, we will be able to love and live in a more deep and rich way. And the truth is, all of those other little gods are fleeting. Laws change, leaders die, the people who are eating up brain cells from us go away. Even ourselves, when we make ourselves God. I was listening to a TED Talk of a woman who was going to be the first Australian cross-country skier. And she was the most athletic, powerful woman you could ever imagine. And she said, I could do anything, right? Her own physical prowess is her God. And then she was in a bike accident, hit by a delivery truck, and became paralyzed from the waist down. Everything else we make into a little god will go away, except for the God of Isaac and Abraham, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, David, us. God with a capital G, who was there before we were born, will be there to hold us after we die. That God is God forever, the Alpha and the Omega. That God will not disappear and will not disappoint. So put your trust and your hope not in all the little gods that are fleeting, but in the God that will hold you. And when you can do that, you will be able to love more deeply and richly than you ever thought possible. And you will be able to love your neighbor in ways you never thought possible. All those other little gods are very appealing. But there's only one God, with a capital G. And I pray that that is where we put our trust and hope, in a God that never fails.